Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's Brian Noonan in for Rokon and Anna DeVlantes. Later this hour, around 4:45, I'm going to give you a chance to go see the Blackhawks play the Colorado Avalanche Friday night. So be listening then. I'll tell you how to do that in a little bit. Right now, it is always a pleasure to welcome this gentleman into the studio. The fine political writer for the Chicago Tribune, Rick Pearson, is here. The host of the Sunday Spin, Sunday mornings at an ungodly early hour.
Except for this Sunday.
Oh, that's right. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
You have Christmas off?
I get to sleep in on Christmas Sunday.
I don't know. Aren't there a lot of big political stories?
That's the biggest Christmas present, I think, to anybody
can get.
When
was the last time you slept in on a Sunday?
Oh, not counting when
1906.
Not counting when I overslept once.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. It was a time change Sunday.
Okay.
And I was 17 minutes late.
And the Sunday Spin comes on at 6.
It's 7 to 9, but normally I'm actually up at 3 a.m.
Well, you've got a lot of prepping to do because the world of politics never sleeps.
And it's 24/7.
Yes.
It's taking a toll on me.
Is that one of the biggest changes from when you started covering politics, the fact that the news cycle never ends? I mean, you're constantly on call.
Well, I started out working for United Press International, wire service.
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
Same thing, kind of.
And I thought, what a luxury going to work for a newspaper where you can collect your thoughts and all of that. And now, you know, basically with social media and the internet, it is a wire service again.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I had that experience decades ago to help me traverse this new landscape we're in.
Before we get into the political stories of 2016, I want to ask you, because you mentioned social media, and as a guy who works hard to get his facts straight and is a true journalist, how do you feel about all the fake news stories and the fact that people are eating them up like candy? People don't care. It's just like, ooh, there's a story that must be true.
Well, but you know, it's a logical extension of people always were saying, well, it must be true. It's on the internet,
right?
And this is just an expansion of it.
But that was a joke, wasn't it?
Well, not really. Not really. But no, it is. It to me, it's personally troubling. Yeah. I mean, because my whole life is about facts and words,
right?
And when a politician says something, those are their words. That's what they stand for. And when you've been through the election that we've been through, the whole idea of fake news getting attention, it is very troubling. And I was reading a report from the Brookings Institution today about ways that maybe journalists can try to adapt to this whole new landscape.
And what was one of the ways they say you could do it?
Much greater transparency and that lesser reliance on anonymous sources.
Ah.
And you know, put more stock into who did you talk to, you know, why is this news? And just be more forthcoming with kind of the sausage making of reporting.
But isn't that part of reporting? I'm sure in the past, or you've used unnamed sources. I was reading something in the Trib today where people talked under, you know, they wanted to remain anonymous,
right,
because they're not authorized to speak on record about this. Isn't that a crucial part of investigative journalism?
It very much is so. And particularly when you're dealing with issues involving, you know, government or
right,
crime or those kinds of investigations. Yeah, it's pivotal to have that ability. I can't see ever just abandoning it.
Yeah.
But just maybe perhaps a better balance of when you use it.
Okay.
And I mean, it's always the rule. You never give somebody anonymity unless you really have to.
Okay.
That's always the rule. But I think you see in a lot of stories, you kind of question, well, why is that an anonymous source?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they said the Cubs won the World Series.
A source told us.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
All right. Well, hopefully we will be a little more cognizant of where we, as a consumer of news, where we get our news and who we believe. And
well, and hopefully this might be kind of some cyclical thing that puts more stock back into what I'd like to say are reputable brands.
Well, it depends on who you talk to. our president thinks some of those brands are not.
Yes, indeed.
Our president-elect not too happy about those brands. All right, let's turn to politics, because the biggest story, obviously, of this year was the presidential election. Probably unlike any you've seen through covering.
Absolutely, and just the you hear all the time in campaigns about there's a silent majority out mm-hmm. there, you know, and obviously that was the Richard Nixon election too. Yeah. But you hear that phrase silent majority, and you normally when people use that phrase, they're the candidate that's losing.
Okay.
And there is no silent majority right. that materializes. Obviously, when you heard the Trump people say, well, there's that silent majority out there, they were able to tap into something that was just amazing. And I don't know that anybody saw this as such a great potential change election mm-hmm. year. I mean, certainly going into
but
this.
But it definitely turned out to be that.
And it, in an overwhelming way, particularly when you look at, you know, you look at those critical states like, you know, Wisconsin mm-hmm. and Pennsylvania. Michigan, those flips. I mean, that tells you right there that this is an electorate that isn't happy. They're not satisfied with what's going on. And with Hillary Clinton, and sure, you know, there's love or hate or whatever. There's no middle ground. But that if you're in a change election, she was pure status quo.
Right, exactly. And people did. People went for the change. You've got some interesting numbers from a new poll. We're going to get to that in a minute. Rick Pearson is here. We're talking about the big political stories of 2016. We'll get some more national, then we'll get to local. We'll do all that. But first, we must head up to Traffic Central, because that's where Violetta Podramedic is sitting, waiting to give us the traffic trouble spots. What are they? One of those fine Tribune journalists is in the studio with me. Rick Pearson has been covering politics for about 30 years, a little more than 30 years.
A little more than 30, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. And you mentioned before, we won't spend a lot of time on this, but you mentioned before that, you know, this was the most unusual presidential election you've seen. And you made a point, and I brought this up to you off the air, so I want to ask
sure.
you on the air. You made a point that a politician's words mean something. And
or at least used to.
Or used to. Throughout this campaign, and this is where people get, immediately their hackles go up. Throughout this campaign, a lot of the statements that our president-elect made were proven false. And immediately, anytime a member of the media, a journalist, would point that out, there would be a backlash. You know, it's the opposition is planting these stories. But the truth didn't seem to matter, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Facts didn't seem to matter. Is that troubling?
What was particularly troubling is because this occurred with a great frequency.
Yes, it wasn't just one or two. It was,
you know,
all the time.
And so when you would mention or bring this up or write about it, yes, there was the backlash of, oh, well, you're all in the tank
liberal
for
media.
You're all in the tank for Hillary or all of that. And the fact of the matter is, you know, our job has always been you hold truth to power.
Mm-hmm.
And words to me still matter. What a person says when they run for office, that's political literacy.
Yeah.
And you know, that's frankly, that's there's a value in what they say. And if a candidate continues to say things that are misstatements of fact, are lies, are overstating issues, are making gaffes, mm-hmm. that's all part of the currency of a political candidate. And, you know, we can't stop pointing out what the truth is.
We shouldn't.
Well, but we can't do
no.
that. And you know, talking to some Trump supporters, and they'll say, yeah, well, we know he didn't really mean that. And it's like, well, what did he mean here? Or that kind of thing.
But immediately when you say that, people are going to say, well, again, like you said, well, everybody's in it's the liberal media. They're in the tank for Hillary. It's just against Trump. It's not. You know, if people, like you said, if people say something wrong, we do it for kids in school. If you give us wrong facts on a test, the teacher calls you out.
I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't pick sides. The only team I root for is the Blackhawks and the Cubs.
There you go.
Okay, and that's not going to change.
No. All right, let's go to this poll that came out today. We'll do a couple of a new poll came out in USA Today.
Done by Suffolk University, and basically gives President Obama a very high approval rating. 54% approve of the job he's done as president. 41% disapprove. Then they ask people, just your best guess, do you think Donald Trump will significantly dismantle President Obama's legacy in office? 58.5% say yes.
Wow.
Now, after you give the president these high ratings,
right,
and also say, I think only 23% said they would consider Obama having a failed presidency. Only 23%.
Right. Is that about the average when you look at all presidents that, you know?
It's probably, frankly, that's...
A little low?
That's low.
Okay.
But that having been said, so you've got this small, maybe, you know, 1 in 5 voters say he's had a failed presidency. Now, you 58.5% say they expect Trump to repeal Obama's programs. Then they're asked, would this be a good thing or a bad thing? 45% say it's a good thing. 43% say it's a bad thing. Now, you've just said that he's been a successful
right, exactly.
president. Big, you know, big approval ratings. And then it's like, yeah, but go ahead. And that there again, but that points to, you know,
facts
this nature
really
and
that,
well, and also this nature of change election.
Right.
A change election.
Now, somebody pointed out, and I guess if as somebody who's covered this, and I don't want to get into a whole electoral college versus popular vote kind of thing, because this is the system we have. And it's the system that, you know, Donald Trump's the president. There's no two ways about
right.
it. He won the election fair and square. Yeah. Unless you bring Russia into it a little bit. But that'll be found out later. Somebody said, well, if this was a change election, how come the majority of the popular vote went to Hillary Clinton? Which
well,
is a good question.
But you have to look where that popular
right, exactly.
vote was located. And you know, I'm sure we hear the debate back and forth,
sure.
electoral college, popular vote and everything. I do think it's wrong to just look at that popular vote number.
Yes.
In isolation of the fact that of how campaigns are done,
right,
and
if
the
you
focus
look at where
on
the
swing states,
yes, and look at where the counties where
right.
Donald Trump won versus Hillary.
I mean, quite
Hillary
frankly,
Clinton
you know, here closer to home in Illinois, I think a very interesting factor was that in the collar counties outside of Cook, mm-hmm. traditionally Republican leaning, you had both Hillary Clinton and Tammy Duckworth winning
yes.
the collar counties, except for McHenry County.
Mm-hmm.
There's still the red holdout. But, you know, that portends a very interesting shift of ideology and demographics in those counties that for Illinois races in this state, that gives the collar counties a whole new dimension. I've always said that moderate suburban women were a key demographic to watch.
Okay.
But now when you look at, and this is the third consecutive presidential election because Obama won those
right.
collars, but he was a home state guy.
Sure.
But you take that factor out, I don't think anybody really voted for Hillary Clinton because she was born in Chicago and raised in Park Ridge.
No, I don't.
But I do think it portends that the real deciding factor in statewide elections here in Illinois as we move forward, it's going to be the collar counties are going to be the swing area, not the old Republican firewall that prevented the Democrats' vote counts out of Chicago.
Well, let's talk about Illinois for a little while for a couple minutes. Still without this budget, the governor and the
actually we still have a budget till December 31st. That's when the stopgap budget ends.
But the real one.
Yeah, we don't have a real budget. No.
Mike Madigan is up for Speaker of the House again in January.
Right.
He and Bruce Rauner, whether is their contempt for each other real? Is it manufactured? But either way, there's still this standoff down in Springfield, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better or that there's any progress that's going to be made.
No, and the rhetoric really hasn't stopped.
Nothing.
Now, I was joking with Dean Richards that if there was an Emmy Award to be awarded for the 2016 fall political advertising, it would probably go to Mike Madigan since he was featured on every Republican attack ad.
The only thing that missing from those ads were horns and a pitchfork.
In the mailers. They were not in the TV, but those were in the direct mail pieces. But, you know, you had for the first time ever the fact of Republicans, largely because of Bruce Rauner and his wealth, supplying tens of millions of dollars to a Republican Party to be able to run legislative races on an equal or above equal footing with Democratic legislative candidates and backed by the unions and trial lawyers and traditional Democratic allies. And as a result, you saw unprecedented spending levels of, you know, over a dozen races that cost, for the state legislature, okay, over, you know, $4 to $6 million.
That's ridiculous.
For one legislative seat out of 177.
Yeah, that doesn't, that's when you know the system is wrong.
But as I said, the rhetoric, since November 8th, the rhetoric hasn't stopped.
No.
And listen,
Mike Madigan's been in power a long time.
Yes.
He wields a lot of power downstate. Is he the evil face of everything that's wrong with this state? Or is there plenty of blame to go around, but he's just an easy one to put up there because he's been speaker for
so long?
Well,
one thing is, Republicans in the past have tried to make Mike Madigan and his longevity, his decades in office, as that poster child.
Right.
They never had the resources to drive that message.
Cash.
Now they got the cash, and you're starting to see the evidence of that. Because beforehand, Mike Madigan was just a name people, but they didn't really know anything.
Now they see him.
Now that image is kind of burned in. But truly, I mean, there's a lot of blame that goes across both parties that goes across decades.
Yeah.
We are the can that's been kicked down the road right now.
Right.
And there's no money in it. And
no, and we're seeing it with people fleeing the state. Population in Illinois dropping the most in the country.
But I also think too, it also perpetuates a negativity mm-hmm. about things. And certainly, you know, crime factor in Chicago's got to be an issue. But, yeah, high taxes are an issue.
Yeah.
The lack of a state budget and social services for some has to be an issue. But these aren't good times, and they're not going to get any better anytime soon.
And that's unfortunate, especially during the holidays. But the good news is it will always keep you employed because there will always be something going on in Springfield for you to cover.
There is always something, unfortunately.
And a lot of stuff to talk about Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. Not this Sunday. It's Christmas. Rick is going to be, dreaming of sugar plums. Thank you. It is always a pleasure to see you. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Brian, thank you. And thanks to all the listeners,
too. Rick Pearson, we will do this. Then it's news time in 2 on WGN.